Pray with me, please. Our Father God, Lord, we praise you so much for being our God, for being our Creator, for being our Sustainer, for being our Provider, for being our Forgiver, for being our Redeemer, for being the source of our eternal life and our hope, which is in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, we have much to rejoice in. We have much to be thankful for. You have blessed us beyond our wildest dreams, God, not only with blessings of material things in this world, but of treasures in the life to come. God, we just can't praise you enough. We can't be thankful enough. Lord, we can't proclaim your glories enough. But Lord, we just pray at this time, God, as we've gathered in your name to celebrate and to worship the same thing we got together for last week, and that is our Savior is alive and we can follow him with our daily lives. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to do it, and we pray that it would be a fruitful time together as we've gathered this morning. God, as we open your word, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to each and every heart, each and every mind, each and every household, each and every marriage, each and every family, each and every person in a way that would be powerful and impactful and cause us, Lord, to see you like never before, to feel and understand you like never before, but most importantly, to respond in faith and obedience and live for you like never before, because you are worthy, God, and you have proven yourself to be faithful. May we be found to be as well. We thank you for what you've done, for who you are, and for what is to come in Christ's precious name. The name we've gathered in, the name we have sung in, the name that we as always pray in, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, you may be seated. I want to invite you this morning to turn with me, please, in your Bibles. We're going to start here. We won't finish there, but start in Matthew chapter 25. Celebrated Easter last week, and it was awesome. As awesome as 6,000 calories in one sitting can possibly be, I'd have to say. And I did it twice in the same day. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read a passage that we're all familiar with, that we've heard before, to launch us into what God has planned for us today. My prayer is that we hear it for what it is, and that is the God-breathed, holy, and inerrant Scriptures. Beginning in verse 31, Matthew 25 says, Jesus speaking, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The King will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And Lord, bless the reading of His Word. We've heard this before, and it's talking about the sheep and the goats being divided, and some are blessed, and some are cursed. And we read this, and we celebrate Easter last week, and we know, hey, those of us that are saved, we're forgiven, we're Christians, we're the sheep, right? Amen? All right, that's us. We're the sheep. We're forgiven, and when the time comes that He separates the wheat from the chaff and the sheep from the goats, we're the good guys. We're the sheep. Amen? All right. We're the sheep. But sometimes we act like goats, don't we? Sometimes guilty. Sometimes we all, from time to time, act like goats. Somebody called me a goat, you know what? They'd be right. From time to time, because I behave that way. Sometimes in this world, we just do. We act like a bunch of goats instead of the Lord's sheep that follow Him. We're going to be, in 2 weeks from yesterday, doing our sixth annual, as we said, Operation Inasmuch here, or maybe fifth, regardless of which. Operation Inasmuch is on April 20th, and it's a time when we go out and we do good things for people that need it right here in our midst. We make a special case of it. And the verse that it's based on is in this passage that we just read. We don't see the word in as much because that's out of the King James, and we're reading from the NIV this morning. But verse 40 in Matthew 25 says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. All right? And that's what we're going to go try to do, is do things for people who need it, as you know, because that's what Jesus wanted us to do, is people who need it, we go do it. And He says, when you do that sort of thing for them, you're doing it for me. And that's why we go do it. And I want you to know this morning that particular type of thing should not be a one-day mission opportunity, yet it should be a lifestyle of the sheep. Amen? All right? Doing things for people who need it should be our very lifestyle. We're going to do something a little bit different this year at Operation Inasmuch, and trust me, as I get into this, it does have a lot to do with the point of the sermon. But every year we get our t-shirt, you know, Operation Inasmuch is the day when we get our annual Cornerstone t-shirt, and it's been the same for a few years in a row now, and we get that, and we wear it for Bible school, and we wear it for mission trips and that sort of thing, and we're going to get one this year, but we decided to take that opportunity, and the Inasmuch verse will be printed on the back. We're going to take that opportunity this year to launch something that I mentioned a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, and that is a campaign and a mission that we're going to embark on as a church that we can fan out into our community and wear and have and do and be beyond just the one day. And what's going to be printed on the very front of that t-shirt this year in big bold letters is very simply, Better Bleacher Behavior. The idea being, anyway, you go to a ball game or something, you wear it, and there's a verse on the back, and it'll make me behave myself, and when I do, people will know why. Now, there's many other applications to this, but that's something we're going to do. See, the whole idea of sitting in the bleachers and behaving like a sheep instead of a goat and at a sports event is just a metaphor for life, okay, because it matters wherever we are, wherever we're going, whatever it is we're going to do, whether we be at home, whether we be at work, whether we be driving down the road, our behavior should impact people in a way that they say, now there's somebody who is obviously a sheep that's following the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ. Amen? We know that Jesus' resurrection that we celebrated last week is not something that's in the past. We say He is risen or He has risen. It's written in the Scriptures. It is spoken by our lips in the perfect tense. And those of you who understand grammar know that that's something that while it happened in the past, it matters now. The implications or the impact from it goes into the future and it never stops. He has risen. It mattered then. It matters now. It will matter tomorrow. It will matter forever. Jesus, as we've studied on Wednesday night, said, and we read last week on Easter Sunday in the book of Revelation, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am He who was and is to come. You see, being a Christian is not a one-time event. It is a lifestyle that we live out every single day. Someone were to ask you, what makes you a Christian? A lot of us would immediately begin to recall and point to an event where maybe we went down and answered an altar call at a service one day, or we went down and answered an altar call at a revival one night, or we got down on our knees and we prayed with our parents or our grandparents, whatever the case may be. And that's true, but can I tell you this morning, that's not what the end of what makes you the Christian. That is the beginning of what makes you a Christian. If somebody asks me what makes me a Christian, what you and I need to try to answer with is the way we live our lives. The fact that we put all of our faith, all of our trust, all of our allegiance, all of our following into Jesus Christ alone like none other. Amen? And none other. What makes me a Christian is that He lives in me, I live, and I live for Him forever. That's what makes me a Christian. That prayer, that revival, that altar call was the beginning, not the story. It's the start of it, not the whole thing. In light of the forgiveness that I've been given, and my gratitude for it, and live a life dedicated to serving a risen Savior and King. You all know I spend my spare time officiating sports events. And I go to these places and I'm at sporting events and I see people who are Christians. They claim to be or are. They go to church. And I see the way they're behaving. The way they're treating other children. The way some of these grown adults talk to little boys and girls. The way people talk to another one of God's precious children in this world. I see the way people behave in all grades of situation. And you know what? It'd make a really good reality TV show if you had some of this on the tape. I mean, I'm telling you, if you could just put it all together, we could sell it and make all kinds of money. But Courtney's gotten me into watching this Duck Dynasty, which, by the way, I never would have been drawn to otherwise, but she got into it. It's very wholesome. I mean, the guys aren't much to look at, but they don't use any profanity. They don't do anything risque. It's as wholesome a family program as you can find, and there's usually a good moral by the end, and it's just outstanding. I don't think that it's not scripted, but anyway, it's gotten to be something that we'll sit down and watch, because there's very little on TV anymore that you can be entertained by, and even though they haven't kicked, hit, or thrown a ball yet, I've come to enjoy it, but that's just my particular take. She said, boy, some of the things you come home and tell me about that happened at the ball field, that'd make a really good reality show. I said, yeah, it would. She said, well, you need to call A&E and see if we can do some of that. But regardless of the fact, we see the way people act when we go to certain places and people are mocked and ridiculed and called names and rebuked and chastised and cursed. And I just want to say on that, and this is just one application of many, but ladies and gentlemen, it's just a game. It will end. It won't matter in the end, but our walk and our witness and our testimony will. That absolutely will matter in the end. But it goes further than that. Not just how I act in the bleachers at the ballgame, but how I act behind the wheel when I'm driving in traffic. How I act when I'm sitting in my cubicle or my office at work. How I act when I'm at home sitting in my easy chair. And, you know, we've all had, hey, if you're married, you've had an altercation with your spouse. You've had an argument. All right, we're flesh and blood. We're going to have an argument. And how I act at that point and how I treat another one of God's children. How I treat my parents. How I treat my children, okay? The implications of this go on and on and on. The places where we can either act like a sheep or act like a goat. An old story where two porcupines in northern Canada were huddled together to keep warm, and according to this particular forest folktale, and they were huddled together to keep warm, but their quills, they just kept pricking each other, so they moved apart. Before long, the two of them were shivering, and so they sidled up close to one another again, and soon they, because of that, they were both getting jabbed again, so same story, same ending. See, the two of them needed each other, but they just kept needling each other. That's how God's children do sometimes. Amen? I want to read to you briefly this morning a passage of what happened to Jesus on the cross and point out three very useful things we can use every day of our life. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Jesus is on the cross. This is the crucifixion. Luke 23, verse 33 and 34. When they came to the place called the skull. Golgotha, Calvary. They crucified him there. They crucified him. Along with the criminals. One on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. See a few things in these two verses that we all need to hear. We all need to understand. We all need to get with it. We all need to live out. Right? They actually took Jesus Christ, who had never done anything wrong, to this place, and they crucified him. They nailed him to a cross, as you know. They tortured him up to and including death. They chastised him while he was there. They said things about him that nobody should ever have said about them. And what was Jesus' response? He said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what to do. What an attitude. What an attitude to have. If Jesus can have it at that point, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, you and I are capable by His power, if He is truly risen from the grave, we are capable of having that same attitude in each and every situation. Somebody say amen. If I believe in and I do, I know it's true. The first thing I want you to learn by this passage is they took Jesus to crucify Him. He didn't deserve it. They were doing something that they shouldn't. There was something that needed to be forgiveness. Jesus asked the Father to forgive him. The first thing we learn is that everybody makes mistakes. Okay? Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. You see people doing some things, and they're doing it a different way than you would like to have it done, or you would do it yourself. We need to understand in each and every case that everybody makes mistakes. It tells us in the end of verse 34, while Jesus is nailed to the cross, struggling to hang on to his life or not going too much longer, that they were literally at the foot of the cross there. What they're doing while he's up there naked, bleeding, suffering, dying for you and me, what they're doing right in front of him is they've got his cloak and his belt and his tunic and all of his worldly, his clothes, and they're down there rolling dice, casting lots, and he's going to get them piece by piece. How much more disrespectful could you be toward anybody? Much less the Son of God. Obviously, they didn't believe that. They didn't put their faith in that. But couldn't you just... The man is dying, and he's right there. Do you have to do it in front of him? Couldn't he wait just another 30 minutes or so until he's passed out or dead to do that sort of thing? Couldn't he? How disrespectful. And Jesus had to sit there and watch it. Anytime you or I feel like we're being disrespected, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. You ain't seen nothing yet. To this offense, Jesus forgave them. He asked his Father to forgive them. He understood. They're just flesh and blood. They've made a mistake. Everybody does it. Except him. The second thing I want you to hear this morning is rarely do I have all the information. You're right, Grant. You don't know. Every one of us. Rarely do any of us have all the information. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Right? In other words, they were doing something that they shouldn't, and Jesus said they don't know the implication. They don't know the magnitude. They don't understand, Father. They just don't know what they're doing. Obviously, if they knew who He was, if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have been doing what they're doing. Here's what you and I need to take from this. You and I don't always know what that other person has been going through this day. Your boss comes in and says, we're going to change this, we're going to do that. We're like, oh, that is the worst news ever. That is going to impact me. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. We start growing. You don't know what they've gone through. We get into an argument with our spouse. They come home or we come home and something gets started. You have no idea what they've gone through today. Ask some questions, first of all. But you don't know what maybe God has told somebody, what has happened to them, what information they have that you don't have. When I'm out there on that sports field, you don't always have the angle that other people got, okay? You know, I went to training for hours and hours and hours on end. They tell us, you may get the wrong call, but you better get in the position. You better get the right angle to see what's happening. So you work very hard while everything else is going on to get to the right spot to see it. And you get right there and you got the angle and you make the call. And somebody over here that's, I mean, obviously a lot further away in a different angle says, you're crazy. And they start calling me names. All right, and they do that to all kinds of people. They didn't have the angle. They didn't have the information. Can I tell you something this morning? When we hear somebody in our life, whether it be at work or at home or at church or in the neighborhood or whatever, and they're doing something different from what we would do, we say, ah, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing, because if they knew what they were doing, they'd do it the way I'd do it. Now, Jesus knew, but you and I don't. If somebody does something different from the way I would like or I would prefer or I would do it, maybe I'm the one who doesn't have all that. Y'all understand? That's hard to do. That takes a lot of maturity. It takes a lot of intelligence. It takes a lot of discipline to see life that way. So you, even if I am right, even if you are right, even if we're sure that our side is right and they got it wrong, if we're certain, and by the way, that's never as often as you and I think it is. Never as often. Even if you should, go to them and say, this is wrong. You should do what Jesus said. Forgive. The third thing we need to hear this morning is what Jesus did. He said, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to forgive. Illustrated. This is the part you're going to remember. That forgive and you shall be forgiven. God said forgive. He said, whatever you do, forgive your brother, and I'll do it. Absolutely, I'll do it. But we think in the back of our mind, and we're just flesh and blood, and we're people, we think, yeah, I'm going to forgive you, but you and I, we're going to have it out first. I'm going to fuss, and I'm going to let you know that you hurt me. I'm going to let you know that you're wrong, and I'm offended, and I'm mad, and we're going to go toe-to-toe, and it might be a few days or a few weeks or a few months where we're at odds. I'll forgive you, but by grannies, I'm going to get you back first. We don't have to do that. It doesn't have to go that way. You don't have to have the big argument and then make up and forgive. You can just forgive to start. Not finish. The discipline that I've been trying to implement over the last several weeks of my life, and I haven't done anything new in years that made this much impact on me. As soon as somebody cuts me off in the left lane, as soon as somebody says something that begins to stir inside me, I'm behind that mask and people are saying things and it just begins to just well up and grow and grow, and my pride and my flesh just want to lash out. Here's what I've started doing no matter what, no matter who it is or what the situation is. Just as soon as I begin to feel that stirring inside of me, I just start with those simple words. I forgive you. I don't recommend saying it out loud all the time. What do you mean you forgive? No. To myself, I say, I forgive you. You know what happens at that moment when I just take a step back and I go, all right, I forgive you. I'll start from there. All the pressure's off. That pain, that stirring, that emotion inside me that's welling up, just got to do something. For whatever reason, it just released. Oh, that feels better. That's still wrong. But, oh, I forgive me. It's just so good. There's no better feeling. No better feeling. Let me give you a couple of examples just from yesterday. And we could do this with anybody's life in anybody's day. But just to illustrate what's going on in some of our lives in the past 24 hours. I was booked to do a school game at Side Country Day School at 4 o'clock yesterday, which is good, and that's normal, and all that's fine and everything. So I called my agent, who does Little League USSSA tournaments all over the state, and I said, Joey, if you need me to go somewhere in the morning, I'll be glad to help you out. I got to be somewhere at 4 o'clock in Wednesday. He said, yeah, I can give you 3 games in Kernersville. They've all got an hour and 45-minute time limit starting at 9 o'clock. So I start doing the math, and I'm thinking, okay, let's say it takes 2 hours, even though it's an hour and 45-minute time limit. That's 9, 11, and 1, and be done at 3. It takes about 25 minutes to get from point A to point B. No problem. As long as they've got time limits, we're good. No problem. No stress. So I get there a little after 8:30 yesterday morning. I get dressed, and I'm ready to go, and I go to the little headquarters in the hub there in the center. And we walk upstairs and we look out over the field, and they're absolute mud holes. Just soaked to the nth degree. Just puddles, you know what I'm saying, all right? And the coach is like, I'm not putting my boys out there on that field. I'm going to do something about it. And so the tournament director said, well, the, you know, the city park people are saying they're not going to put any quick dry out there or rake it. They said they're just not going to do it. They just going to have to wait for them to dry. Right? And we stand around waiting and waiting and waiting. And before I know it, it's 9:30. Okay, where'd my buffer go? Y'all with me on this? And you feel it start to stir up. I said, what do you mean you're not going to put some quick dry on it and dry it up so we can get started playing? I got somewhere I got to be a little bit later. Do you understand? Well, I'm just not. And there's a guy right there with a perfectly good rake and two perfectly good hands and two perfectly good feet who's putting my life in a real peril because the one at 4 o'clock, I've really got to be. And by the way, guy, I didn't say any of this, but it didn't rain yesterday. It rained day before yesterday. Why weren't you out here doing this yesterday? Do you understand what kind of situation? That's what's starting in here. But I took a step back because I'm trying really hard to work on this, and I said, okay, I don't know what you've been told. I don't know all the information. I don't have the angle of this thing that you do. All right? We all make mistakes, whatever. I just forgive you. Inside my head, I said that I forgive you. Immediately, I felt better. Didn't have to have a fuss. Didn't have to do something that's going to hurt my witness. Didn't have to stress myself out when my blood pressure starts going up and it starts shortening my life expectancy. All right? Didn't have to. Just forgive you. So we got started a little after 9:30. Grant spent 3 or 4 hours cracking the whip. Let's go. And long story short, I made it where I was supposed to be. But I wasn't all that worried because we start with the forgiveness and then we rely on God's power. Amen? The particular play, in one game, where the guy's coming in to score at the plate and the runner tries to jump over and he reaches up tagging him. He got just barely the end of his toe and caught him out and the coach comes out and he's having a fit. What do you mean? The guy said he tagged him on the foot. No, he didn't. You're out of your mind. And at this point it just starts to stir up again. We're starting. It's getting easier every time. I forgive you. Yes, he did. You're acting like an idiot, but I forgive you. Last but not least, I asked Stephanie if I could use the story. Apparently, you took Gavin to the playground at the park yesterday because it's a beautiful day and the weather's nice outside and there's lots of children out there playing. And as happens on the playground at the park on a beautiful day, when there's lots of kids out there, you have some things going on, extracurriculars, not just take your turn, go down the slide, or, you know, I'm going to swing on this one. Things go on. Boys will be boys, and even girls will be boys sometimes. But regardless of which, there were words said, there were heads butting, there were apparently unpleasantries exchanged, and even mild fisticuffs, as I understand. Hands were thrown, and at some point it all culminated in the other little boy peeing on Gavin. I don't know, okay? True story. Now, we're getting to the level of raffling off my clothes while I'm on the cross now, all right? You can say what you want to about me, but you start doing something like that to my child, we got an issue, all right? This is out of hand. And as I understand the story goes, Stephanie's got the other little boy and her little son, and we're marching. We're going to his mother and tell her what happened. And he said, do you understand what your child did to my child? And all she got was, sorry. That would absolutely chat me over. You understand? But even on that level, where you start, not where you end up, where you start is I forgive you. See, when you came to Christ, just like when I come to Christ, when everybody else comes to Christ, what did He do to begin with you? He forgave you. That was the first thing. And then He began to do a good work. Hard as it may be, it's always going to be the right thing. Amen? Anybody can sit in the bleachers, or in their armchair, or behind the wheel of their car, or at their desk, or stand out at the fence in the edge of the yard and render an opinion. Anybody can vent out of their frustration, but it takes a true, mature man or woman of God who walks and talks, the sheep walk and talk, not the goat, to start with forgiveness and do to others like you would do if that was Jesus. Amen. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the power, the presence, the truth, and the perfection of your word. God, I can't tell you how many times I've failed you. Lord, I can't tell you how many times I've looked back and wished I'd done differently. But you've forgiven me each and every time. Lord, help me to see every other person in my life. Help us all to see the other people in our lives when they do things that maybe they should or shouldn't do, whether it be my spouse, whether it be my children, whether it be my parents, whether it be my boss or my coworker, my neighbor, that person in the car. Help us to see everybody else around us as you see them. They are your precious child. They make mistakes. We don't know what's going on in their life. We don't have all the information. But you called us to forgive them first and then go from there. We're going to need your help. We're going to need your Spirit to guide us and to give us that strength. So we ask for it. Lord, if there be anyone amongst us here this morning who has been so stirred by your word that they need to come and repent, to pray at this altar, to spend a moment with you, I pray that you'd lead them to do that. Most importantly, God, if there be anyone here this morning who maybe thought they had become a Christian, but really they just went through the motions of saying some words and they haven't seen the real life change and they're worried, am I one of the goats or am I the sheep? Lord, I pray that they would come here today so that they might know that they know that they know that they've received your forgiveness, the deposit of your Spirit, and the promise of hope eternal and life in heaven. We love you, Lord. We thank you again for what you did at the cross, for what you did at the empty tomb, for what you did when you forgave us, and for what you can do, want to do, and will do with our obedient service to you. Praises be to our God, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Time of invitation. Whatever God's laid on your heart to do, whatever it may be, I hope you'll do it if you stand and say. Jesus, one time they said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, it is very simple. The first one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And he said, that's the first and most important commandment. The second one, though, is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, all of the law and all the prophets hang on thee. He's saying the entire Bible hangs on those two simple things. Love God and show love to everybody around you. Even the goats. We can do that. We got it nailed, folks. It starts with I forgive you. Amen.